Hello and welcome to another edition of the Blu-ray 4K review on this Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest, where, you know, we have shows like Mediocrity and My Bloody Podcast and Wrestling Is Everything Is Wrestling. Check it all out on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're all here. And even our new music show, The Unbalanced Note. It's so much fun. But also, we're doing Blu-ray reviews and 4K reviews. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast channel, I'd like to give you some information on some of the latest and greatest and maybe not so great Blu-rays and 4K releases to help you purchase your hard-earned money to these amazing movies. First up, let's talk about the 4K release and Blu-ray edition of Solo, A Star Wars Story, which came out recently. It's the prequel to Star Wars. It's the prequel origin story, so to speak, to Han Solo. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today in 4K. The film itself, Disney, as you know, is on a big roll these days with the recent Star Wars franchise. Not only do we have the new episodes like The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens in the upcoming J.J. Abrams-directed ninth episode, but we are getting spinoff movies too that focus kind of on a singular story from the past or a certain character. One character, of course, that we've always loved through the original trilogy, but don't really know a lot about is Han Solo, played by originally Harrison Ford. Sure, we know he's the smuggler, he's the anti-hero, he loved the princess, he helped save the galaxy with his Wookiee partner Chewbacca, as they kind of flew on from planet to planet and galaxy to galaxy on the iconic Millennium Falcon. Through the original trilogy, we heard small lines of dialogue that kind of gave us a tiny glimpse at his background and life before he met Obi-Wan and Luke. Fortunately, we now have Solo, A Star Wars Story, to answer all of those questions for us. Or maybe not so much answer, because we kind of know what happened, but we get to see it finally. Playing a much younger Han Solo this time around is Alden Ehrenreich, which he's excellent. He's trying to get off this sewer of a planet to gain his freedom, along with his childhood friend and romantic interest, Kira, played by Emilia Clarke, Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. Once off the planet, his adventures across the galaxy begins, and he meets an older man named Tobias, who's played by Woody fucking Harrelson. Amazing. He becomes Han's mentor. Together, they become smugglers trying to get paid, which always doesn't work out the way they want to, of course. In the original trilogy, you know that Han saved Chewbacca's life, and now Chewie is forever Han's protector. We also know that Han made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, which made him famous in the smuggling world, along with meeting the suave and smooth gambler, Lando Calrissian. Give me a Colt! 4 to 5. This time he's played by Donald Glover, who owns the Millennium Falcon. We know all of this from the original trilogy of Star Wars movies, but we never get an in-depth look at how it all happened or how Han actually got the Millennium Falcon. So Star Wars, the Star Wars story called Solo is here to show it all. That being said, there are two more films slated to release involving the Han Solo storyline, with Ehrenreich starring. This is just the tip of the iceberg here, folks, which is far prior to Han and Chewie having a drink at Mos Eisley Cantina, where they meet Luke and Obi-Wan. When this movie was announced, it had Christopher Miller and Philip Lord directing the film. Those two directors gave us the Lego Movie and the remake of 21 Jump Street. Several months into the shoot, they were fired for creative differences, and the veteran filmmaker Ron Howard, Apollo 13, Willow, pretty much everything else, was brought in to make the movie. Yes, Ron Howard is a great filmmaker for sure, but most of his movies are completely forgettable. He's just kind of a wet noodle of a filmmaker that while he gets the job done very well, there isn't anything memorable about any of it, visually speaking. It just feels quite bland when he's making a movie. And unfortunately, that's kind of the case with Solo, A Star Wars Story. Visually speaking, like the story, I've seen it a few times, and each time it gets better in the whole Star Wars universe. I mean, I really like what they did here, but visually, oh man, it just, there's nothing on screen that really gets you excited that we should be in a Star Wars movie. It's underplayed for the most part. There's a couple of monotone performances. However, in this latter half of the film, it gets better. But there is, it's almost 3 hours long. So it's kind of a long movie. It's cool to see kind of the set pieces and the origins come to fruition here, such as the Kessel Run and Han and Chewie meeting. But none of it's really applause worthy, really. It kind of takes itself seriously here and there for most of the time. The characters are better fleshed out, however, than in Rogue One. And by the end of the film, you'll grow to love each of these actors who play these characters. It just takes a little while to get there. So with the visual aspect, the visuals are just... The whole movie's bleak and dark, and there's not a whole lot of brightness to it. But oh well. So here we see kind of the Han Solo, the younger Han Solo. He's kind of a cowboy. And I just wanted them to take bigger or riskier chances here, and they really didn't. Still, there's a few great cameos and a promising start to a new origin trilogy, and I would say Solo Star Wars Story is still quite good, but it's not the best Star Wars movie by any means. If there was one really good thing to this movie, it would have to be Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian and Alden Ehrenreich as Solo. They really do a good job. Donald Glover just oozes Billy Dee Williams' charm with his own talent. And you can see elements of Harrison Ford and Alden's performance as well. There's some really cool Easter eggs throughout. So, yes, yeah, the film itself is damn fun for sure. But let's move on to the video. You know, like I said, the movie is kind of dark and bleak throughout. So doing this in 4K... with HDR high dynamic range, you're going to get, you know, kind of like a clearer picture for detail, but also a darker film that's more realistic on your big screen. So that being said, the movie itself is already dark and gloomy itself. There's lots of smoke and dirt and mud and everywhere. It's just not, there's not blue skies anywhere really in this film. So everything's kind of difficult to see. It's like looking through a muddied window through the whole time. So like overcast skies, snowy dirt, it's all there. But with this HDR and this 4K stuff, it accentuates all these darker bits, such as the scene where the train's moving in the snow. You get to accentuate the gray and the white snows a little better, as well as the gray skies. It looks pretty cool, but then again, the train itself is gray, so it all kind of blends together in a way. Also, with that being said, there is some problems with macro blocking, meaning that the image could look a little pixelated from time to time, almost you're kind of like streaming a movie off of YouTube, just because the movie's so dark and there's lots of things going on visually wise, such as CGI. So it doesn't look the best. Same way with the Blu-ray. I mean, it's more apparent on the 4K because it's just that much more clear that you can see all of it. But yeah, that's the deal. Detail-wise and depth-wise on the 4K, since the movie is just so naturally dark and darkly shot and low-lit, there's not a lot of depth, so just everything just looks very flat. Even in big set pieces, just nothing looks like there's a ton of distance between them, which is very upsetting. Even in these darker scenes, you don't get the full effect of 4K with like individual hairs and facial pores on the actors. It's kind of difficult to see. Like, there's moments in the Millennium Falcon where it's lit up, where you can kind of see like the newness of the ship, where you can see kind of like the glistening material on the walls, which is pretty cool. But overall, this is not the best looking 4K just because of how it's shot. I don't think it's necessarily a transfer issue. It's just kind of a style issue, like how it was originally filmed, which is unfortunate. The black levels, which, you know, you see throughout at nighttime sequences, they don't really bleed, but they're not completely deep and inky either. And skin textures are kind of anemic and pale as well. It's just not a really bright movie, but still, it's fun to watch if you can get through that. Just know that you might have to turn up the brightness on your TV a little bit. But moving on, let's go to the audio portion of this. There is an excellent Dolby Atmos soundtrack, which if you have an Atmos setup, I highly recommend because there's some pretty cool overhead effects, like for your height speakers on your ceiling, to go along with your surround sound, which is really, really cool. If you don't have that, it does come with 7.1 offering, which is pretty cool too. But the Dolby Atmos track is where you want it. So basically, you know, towards the beginning of the film, there's a ton of characters. Solo and Kira are on the run, so there's a ton of people looking for them, and you can hear all of these security guys and stormtroopers looking for them from all aspects of your room. Even from the top of the ceiling on a second story, you can hear people shouting down. It's pretty cool. As well as a big train escape sequence, or not escape sequence, the train when they try to get all the power they need to kind of power a Death Star later on. That sounds really cool. It's got a lot of bass, a lot of low end to it. And then you have kind of like the bigger fight scenes, or even the big, the 12, less than 12 parsecs Kessel run, which is full of the ship flying through like electricity fields and a big monster. So it all sounds really good. But when they're on Kessel, in the mines, there's tons of droids and Wookiees and people, you know, enslaved. So you get all of these scary sounds from all over the place. It really does sound good. I give this a pretty damn good grade audio-wise, way better than the video. But yeah, this is the one you really want to hear. But yeah, the bass is there. The music is fantastic because you get the old Star Wars themes as well as some of the new stuff. So it's pretty cool. But moving on to the extras, of course, the new extras. There is a 22-minute director and cast roundtable interviews, which Ron Howard and the big talent of the film, Alden, Donald, Junis, Amelia, Phoebe, Thandi, Woody, and Paul Bettany are all part of. It's crazy. They all discuss their roles in the film, work, you know, doing a Star Wars movie, auditions, just making the film, their characters, backstories, fun anecdotes, working on the set. And of course, they all talk about George Lucas visiting the set, which is kind of cool too. Lots of fun, lots of good moments here. Highly recommended that extra. Also, there is an 8-minute extra called Kasdan on Kasdan, meaning Lawrence Kasdan from the original trilogy, and his son Jonathan discuss kind of like the life of the entire Star Wars franchise, working on it, and their love for Han Solo. There's also a 6-minute extra called Remaking the Millennium Falcon, where it's kind of an interview show, kind of like how the ship plays a vital role in all of the Star Wars movies and how they created this older one, which is a brand new ship to us, and how they did it, and how they kind of made like the design in reference to Lando Calrissian's smooth character. It's kind of cool. There's also a 10-minute extra called Escape from Corellia, which is kind of a discussion on with the movie's timeline and history and how Han Solo fits into the Star Wars universe. And it focuses on kind of the chase scene from the opening scene of the movie and how they did it with mixing CGI and practical effects. It's pretty cool. And then there's a big 15-minute extra with the train heist, which I talked about earlier, where they show how they kind of all did that CGI-wise, practically shooting locations, how it all came together. Then there's Team Chewie extra for 7 minutes, and it talks about how Chewbacca became a big character in the Star Wars franchise and how he is in this film and the emotional connection to Han Solo. It's pretty cool. There's then also a 5-minute extra called Becoming a Droid L337, which is the main droid in the film, who is a female and who wants a revolt in fair treatment of droids. She's pretty funny, kind of comedic relief of the film, but they talk about how they did that. Then there's this, an extra that's 8 minutes long called Scoundrels, Droids, Creatures, and Cards. Welcome to Fort Yipso. This is kind of a detailed piece on the big set pieces taking place there and all the elements and the card game kind of that's going on with all the alien characters, and kind of it's kind of cool stuff. It's kind of like the Mos Eisley Cantina scene with all the different aliens. They talk about all that. It's pretty cool. There's also a 9-minute extra called Into the Maelstrom, the Kessel Run, which definitely takes a big look and focuses on the actual Kessel Run sequence, including sound effects, visual effects, the ship, and everything. And then there's 15 minutes of deleted scenes, all of which are worth your watch, worth your time to watch. Even an extended scene of Han Solo versus Chewbacca, which is kind of cool. And there's also a snowball fight, too. Huh. Pretty fun. So overall, I would say that Solo, A Star Wars Story on 4K, because I would get that because it comes with a Blu-ray and a digital code, too. But yeah, it's worth your time because it's part of the Star Wars franchise. You're going to want this, even though the film itself organically looks like much darker than any other Star Wars movie. It's still really good. And even though you might have to toggle your volume for this one like you do on every Disney movie, which is really weird, it's still worth your time because there's a ton of extras, which equal to over an hour long, and you get the best cut of the film. So yeah, this one comes highly recommended. Definitely get this. You can get this on Amazon. You can get this at Best Buy, Target, anywhere movies are sold. But yeah, Solo, Star Wars Story. Do it, do it, do it.